Good evening. I give you a warm welcome. Welcome to our carol service. If at the end you need the toilet, there is a door at the back. You can go downstairs and help yourself or go outside. There are two toilets, but it depends how desperate you are. Yeah. So we have a number of people giving readings tonight, a very traditional carol service. People will read from here. There won't be introductions and the words will appear on the screen to my rear. Don't rush off afterwards unless you really have to. There'll be some refreshments again through that door for any who are able to stay. Now I think Elizabeth is going to read to us first and then we will sing together. Elizabeth.
And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor has said, and the man who has his eyes opened has also said. He has said which heard the words of God, and he knew the knowledge of the Most High, which he saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance with having his eyes opened. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheath. And Edom shall be a possession. Sheer also shall be a possession of his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he who shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city.
Chapter 1, verse 26, and the passage starts, "And in the sixth month," and the sixth month refers to Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist's pregnancy. So, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when the angel saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will never end."
Shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests."
Isaiah in the Old Testament, chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent word against Jacob, and it has fallen on Israel." Amen.
to the cradle in Bethlehem stole. Come see what has happened this holiest of nights. Come gaze on the gift from the Father of Might. How sweetly he lies in his bed made of straw, as Mary and Joseph behold him in awe. The shepherds are kneeling before his poor bed, while caroling angels are heard overhead. Join the shepherds and on bended knee, give thanks to the Father for Jesus our King. Oh, lift up your voices and join in the praise. The angels from heaven to the Father this holiest of nights. Come gaze on the gift from the Father of Might.
Thank you.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose up went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Perfect light. Mary's smile. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world, the Roman world, should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. And all went out to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn.
Is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him not anything was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness after the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in him and his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only man from the Father, full of grace and truth. So ends the reading. Amen.
Amen.
Some years ago, I had a birthday I'll never forget because everyone else did. Let me explain what I mean. I woke up on the morning of my birthday and for 5 or 10 minutes I chatted to my wife, but there was no mention made of my birthday. And so to make her feel better, I sang, "Happy birthday to me, happy birthday to me, happy birthday dear John, happy birthday to me." Now I must say Pat had a good reason for just forgetting my birthday for a few moments. The night before, she'd been at the doctor's and she'd been diagnosed with a condition that was quite serious, and so I could understand why she had forgotten my birthday. Well, we went downstairs, and about 8:30, the telephone went, and I saw it was my daughter, Joanna. Now, Joanna's wonderful. She never forgets anyone's birthday. And so I picked the phone up, and I said, "Hi, Jo." She said, "Hi, Dad. How's Mum?" Oh, I said, "Well, she's here. Do you want a word?" And so Mum and daughter talked for about 10 minutes. The phone went down. And again I sang, "Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, dear John. Happy birthday to me." Well, the day proceeded. And about 5:30, the phone went again, and I could see it was my son. Now I thought, this is amazing. He never remembers anybody's birthday. And so I picked the phone up, and I said, "Hi, Andrew." He said, "Hi, Dad. Do you have my MOT certificate?" I said, "Why ever would I have your MOT certificate?" So we chatted for a few moments. No mention was made of my birthday. So again, I put down the phone and I sang, "Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, dear John. Happy birthday to me." My birthday had all but been forgotten. Now, I have to say, in a sense, I didn't mind. I've now reached that age when I'm perhaps quite thankful if people do forget my birthday. But what I want to say tonight is this. Whatever you do, don't forget the birthday. Don't forget the birth of Jesus Christ. And I say that for two reasons. First of all, because Jesus Christ is a unique person. A unique person. 700 years before he was born, the prophet Isaiah said, "The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Jesus Christ was God and man. Not part God, part man. Not half God, half man. Perfect God, perfect man. These two natures were in the one being. Jesus Christ is a unique person. Just imagine, 43 years ago, Mr. and Mrs. Sunak. Is it all right? It's not a judgment on me, is it? No. 43 years ago, Mr. and Mrs. Sunak walking the streets of Southampton with their newborn baby boy. And someone comes up to them and they say, "Who's this?" Now, they wouldn't have said, "Oh, this is the Prime Minister." They wouldn't have said that. Perhaps they never dreamt that one day their boy would become Prime Minister. But by contrast, here are Mary and Joseph walking the streets of Bethlehem, walking the streets of Nazareth, and someone says to them, "Who's this?" They could have said, "This is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And they could have said that because Jesus did not become these things. He was these things, even as a babe in the manger. Jesus Christ is the God-man. That's why he was hungry and thirsty, why he was tired and weary, why he mourned and wept. He was a man, a true man, but he was also God. And that's why he raised the dead. He walked on water. He fed the 5,000. He forgave sins. He was both God and man. James Irwin was the eighth man to walk on the moon. And as a result of that experience, he became a committed Christian. And he spent many years going all over the world sharing the gospel of Christ. And James Irwin said, "God walking on the earth is far more important than man walking on the moon." God walking on the earth, far more important than man walking on the moon. Jesus Christ is a unique person. That's the first reason why we must not forget his birth. But there's a second reason. He's a unique person who came for a unique purpose. The words of the angel to Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins." The angel was saying, not just to Joseph, but also to us, The angel was saying, you are sinners, you need a saviour, and Jesus Christ is the saviour you need. Now that's not a popular message today. Indeed, there are many people who deny that they are sinners at all. And yet the evidence is overwhelming. We're sinners both by nature and by practice. I remember the first two words spoken by my youngest granddaughter after the customary mummy and daddy. She would get hold of one of her toys, and when her older brother and sister came towards her, she would say, mine, mine. But then, when her older brother and sister picked up a toy, she would go to them and she would say, share, share, mine, share. Now her parents had never sat her down and told her how to be selfish, taught her how to be jealous. They didn't need to. It was already in her. And that's true of each one of us. We are sinners by nature. But not just sinners by nature, also sinners by practice. Just think back over the past 24 hours. No impure thoughts, no unkind words, no selfish acts. Have we put God first in everything? And that's just the past 24 hours. What about the past week? The past month? The past year? And then multiply that by the 20, 40, 60, 80 years we've been on this earth. Each one of us has committed a mountain of sin. Each one of us needs a saviour. And Jesus Christ is the saviour we need. I remember some years ago, another of my granddaughters writing to Father Christmas. And this is what she wrote. Dear Father Christmas, I hope you are well, and I hope I have been good enough to my brother this year. Why did she write that? Well, no doubt there had been times when she'd been arguing and falling out with her brother, and Mummy had said, oh dear, Father Christmas only comes for good boys and good girls. Now, at this time of the year, Father Christmas is perhaps too prominent. And yet there's a world of difference between Father Christmas and Jesus Christ. And one of the differences is this. Father Christmas comes for good boys and good girls. Jesus Christ did not come for good boys and good girls, for good men and good women. Jesus Christ came for bad boys and girls, for bad men and women. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We all need to be saved. We all can be saved. But the trouble is, some people disqualify themselves. What do I mean? Well, Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, those who say, I'm all right, I'm not a sinner. He came not to call the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance. And that's why at the age of 33, he was crucified upon the cross of Calvary. He was punished for our sin. He was punished for our guilt. He was born to die in order that he might atone for our sins upon the cross of Calvary. I finish with this. The story is told of a boy, and as Christmas time approached, his parents asked him what he wanted for Christmas. And he said he wanted a new bike. And to his great joy, his parents said he could have a bike. And so he went off to school and he told all his friends that for Christmas he was getting a bike. Well, time went on, and a few weeks before Christmas, one Saturday morning, he was down in the town centre with his father. And as they walked past the bicycle shop, there it was in the window, the very bicycle he wanted, with the handlebars, with the gears, everything. And his father said he could have that bike. Well, now he was even more excited, because when he went to school, he wasn't just talking about a bike he was going to get for Christmas. He was now talking about the bike he was going to get for Christmas. Well, Christmas Day came. He was up at the crack of dawn, went downstairs. There was the bicycle. And he couldn't wait to get out of the door, onto the street, onto the bicycle. And with great joy, with great enthusiasm, he rode his bicycle down the street. Because now, you see, it wasn't a bicycle. It wasn't the bicycle. Now it was my bicycle. And it was that which made the difference. Well, this Christmas time, there are those who would say that Jesus Christ is a saviour. There are some who would say he is the saviour. There is something special, something distinctive about him. But the wonderful thing is, when from the heart you can say, Jesus Christ is my saviour. He came into this world for me. He died upon the cross for me. I've repented of sin. I've trusted him as my saviour. Now he is mine, and I am his forever and forever. Tonight, if you cannot say, Jesus Christ is my saviour, I would urge you to ponder on what you've heard in the readings, what you've heard in the carols, what I've tried to share with you in these few moments. I would urge you to seek Jesus, to call upon him. And as you do so, you will find that unique purpose for which he came, to save you from your sins. That unique purpose will be fulfilled in you. Whatever you do this Christmas time, don't forget the birthday. The birth of Jesus Christ. He is a unique person, and he came into this world for a unique purpose. Thank you.
break.
The person who's responsible for the words was congratulating himself approximately 40 seconds ago that this year there were no mistakes. There you go. I'll close in prayer and then you're welcome to come and have a cup of tea. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what we've heard and what we've sung and what we've read today. Lord, I pray your blessing now upon every home represented in this chapel tonight. And Lord, I pray that it will be a Christmas in which, yeah, we spend time together, and we have a rest and a break from work. But also, Lord, we think about why you came. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.